Yeah, like a chubby, stubby ram, three-quarters view, you know?
It blows my mind that UMass is a 6 seed.
Because it'll be in the tournament and it'll be totally fine.
Well, there's six teams and A10 are going to go to the tourney.
Yeah.
And UMass started the season like 16-0.
Yeah.
And it's not to say that they were like, they're that much worse now than they were then, you know.
Yeah, what was their schedule like? Were they front-loaded?
I mean, they played one, I'm pretty sure they played one of the tougher schedules in the...
I mean, they were ranked 13 at one point, right? Mm-hmm. Number of A10 teams ranked in the top 15 this season? Three. That would have been a good trivia question.
Don't! Yeah, okay, so they started 10-0, 16-1. They lost to Florida State. At home loss to George Mason.
I don't know, man. Like, they're better than their record is, clearly.
This is why it was such a terrible addition.
I mean, I feel like
George Mason was a negative ad this year. They weren't even a neutral ad. They were a negative ad.
This year.
They sucked it up.
Let's see next year. Maybe it'll be good next year.
They're not going to be better next year. They're losing their best player.
All right.
I'm just saying, they contribute absolutely nothing to the conference except for like a couple of
really bad
key
losses.
They added some key losses to people. They like sucked it up in the non-conference and then dragged everyone down during the conference play.
What do you think about Davidson? I haven't even followed Davidson this year. Are they middle of the pack, Big South?
Well, I think they were supposed to be the favorite heading into the tourney, but then they lost. And so now Wofford, of all teams, is in the final. I don't know. I mean, at least they add a geographic area. You can make that case for them.
Yeah. Not for Mason, though.
Sorry?
Not for Mason. Can't make that argument for Mason.
No, you can't. And, I don't know. I mean...
At least next year we'll have a normal bracket for the tournament.
Could just not add George Mason. We'd have a normal bracket this year. What's wrong with 12 teams? What's wrong with 10 teams?
What's wrong with 8 teams?
I mean, honestly, imagine the A10 minus Fordham, George Mason, and, like, Duquesne.
Yeah. It'd be very dense.
Yeah, but, I mean, imagine, it just seems like, wow. Wow. Just think about like if 60% of your teams would be going to the tourney. And not only that, I mean everyone would be better because the conference schedule would be even more intense.
Yeah, that'd be great. And like you said before, the home and away. Home and home. I like to say home and away, but I think that I've come to realize that is not what it's called. The home and home aspect
home, you're right.
Of the schedule would be super cool.
Yeah,
it was really nice this year, those home and home games.
They're exciting, yeah. Yeah. Interseason history, man.
Yeah. Well, I kind of already started recording, so let me do the intro in the middle here.
I'm just over here talking.
Yeah, I like it. That's what we're here for. So this already, we've already started episode 15 of the RV Ram News VCU Basketball Podcast. I'm Ross Catro.
I'm Aaron Williams.
And this week, we finished out the regular season, so that was that. See ya, regular season. So we'll look back at it. We'll do a little bit of trivia. We'll talk about the new look briefly because it's really been kind of hashed and rehashed and double rehashed and hashtagged already. And then we'll chat about the A10 tournament. And if Aaron wants to, maybe we'll chat about the NCAA tournament. But it might be just too early to even like think about that. So let's talk about Richmond. You were there. You went to the Robin Center. It's beautiful in there.
It is absolutely beautiful.
What do you think about... So they've spent a lot of money to redo the thing inside and put up the big giant TVs and some other stuff. What do you think about like an arena that is new and beautiful versus an arena that is like old and sweaty? Like I was going to go to the game that people are going to get tickets for. Don't like... They're Spider fans, but they don't like the new Robin Center. And maybe they don't even... I couldn't really tell, but I don't think they really like the Robin Center in general.
They don't like the new Robin
Center? I think they prefer like a Duke or a Butler. Is Butler still old, or is it new, built on top of old? Butler's old, right?
Yeah, they did a lot of improvements this year. But that was more in the underbelly.
So, like, do you like an old classic sweaty gym with wooden bleachers, or do you like state of the art? Barclays in Brooklyn is state of the art, and I think it's a wonderful place to play basketball.
Well, yes. I mean, you can't replicate Hinkle.
Yeah.
I mean, when that was built in 28 or whatever it was, it was like the second biggest basketball arena in the country behind what the original Madison Square Garden or whatever in Indiana.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very historic thing. You can't replicate that. You know, they just don't. Old buildings from the 70s just don't have the same like vibe as like WPA era buildings or bridges or anything. I really feel that way. And so I think if you've got one of those gyms, you got to hold on to it and defend it, you know, for everything it is. And beyond that, you're just going to have to go with really nice. Because I mean, if the Siegel Center, 100 years from now, if they maintain it the same way that Hinkle was maintained, it's not going to have that same, like, charm.
Yeah.
Same with the Robin Center. Nothing's going to feel like quite like Hinkle, or I've never been to Cameron, but I think it's two extremes. You can't really pick one or the other.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I think if you don't have 100 years of history, you need to focus on super nice.
Mm-hmm.
I have lots of thoughts on why that era of building is just such a thing, and why the 70s were such not a thing. But maybe we'll take that to the off season. So
the RVA Random News Architecture Podcast. Yeah.
I'm sure you have thoughts on it too.
So
the basketball was pretty good. I thought it was a game that lived up to this rivalry, I think.
Yeah, I've used that expression a couple times this year. Kind of a little different than I thought it'd be. I did not think that it would be a game that was played in the 50s.
Yeah.
And every time VCU plays Richmond, I come away with just a little bit more respect for Chris Mooney, Coach Mooney. I think he really gets it. I think he really, like, understands what VCU does. And just strategically, he just always seems to, like, have a good plan. You know, win or lose, Richmond always looks ready to play VCU.
What was special about his plan this matchup?
Well, I think he's just, you can tell, I mean, UMass did a lot of this too. I mean, they had plays to get the ball across half court.
Yeah.
And there weren't, you know, actually this is something I think that has happened a lot in the second half of the A-10 slate, is it hasn't been a lot of turnovers 60 feet from the basket. A lot of VCU steals are actually coming, like, trying to pass the ball into the post, or like trying to run offense in the half court, and it hasn't been the press that necessarily has been forcing a lot of turnovers. And I think that was especially the case on Thursday night. You could tell that they had a very definite plan with Kendall Anthony and Chandra Jones about how to get the ball across half court, and they did a really good job of it. I mean, they got a couple of those fast break dunks, you know, that one to Alonzo Mourning, Alonzo Nelson Adoda. Yeah, I mean, if they had Alonzo Mourning, this game might have gone a little differently.
Right.
No, but I think just every time you see them, you can tell that they're just really well coached. And I think that's one of the cool things about getting to play them so often, is that you can tell there's like this level of familiarity.
It's a huge bummer they had Cedric Lindsey go out. Like, their team is good. And
especially in the Robin Center.
Yeah. And like you said, and they've had some bad losses since, like you said, Chandra Jones, not he hit his ceiling, but his, like, the honeymoon period is over with him or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, when he came back down to earth, I think is what you said.
Yeah.
Once that kind of happened, they've had some pretty bad losses. But yeah, man, that game was exciting. Did you feel like, when I was watching it, it was very close for a long time. A long, long, long time.
Yeah.
I wasn't ever super worried. I don't know why. What was your vibe inside the Robin Center? Were you like, uh-oh, we're going to let this one slip?
It crossed my mind. I think it was the point where I got the most nervous was when they came out of the locker room. They looked like they had really good energy, and then Richmond went on a big run. And I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
I was like, this may be one of those nights where it's like senior night, Cedric Lindsey's, you know, this is like the kind of night Richmond's going to talk about for the next decade. It's just like, just kind of like objectively one of those like triumphant moments in sports where it's like
sports.
The underdog triumphed. Because they were motivated by their, you know,
their injured captain.
Yeah, exactly. And I thought, man, that's really nice, except for VCU's playing. And it made me nervous. But then they settled down and those three-pointers started falling. Travion Graham started being Travion Graham, and and then it's like, oh man, VCU's just trolling fans right now.
Yet another game where Travion Graham decided at a point in the second half that he was going to win the game. Him and Rob. And Rob really, like, was kind of invisible the first half, right? Wasn't that the game he was just...
Yeah, he didn't do very... I mean, didn't do very much in the first half, and then I was... He had a lot of, like, intangibles in the second half. Or,
yeah.
I mean, he was just... Played great defense on Kendall Anthony. It seemed like the only times Kendall Anthony scored in the second half would be, like, Rob Brenberg would play terrific defense on him, and, like, someone would shoot, and there'd be an offensive rebound.
Yeah.
And the defense would be messed up, and Rob Brenberg would be on a different part of the court, and then it'd be, like, Kendall Anthony hits a three-pointer. But, like, when in the half court, Rob Brenberg just shut down Kendall Anthony, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
And the threes, I mean, with Travion Graham, I mean, he'd really been slumping. You know, I think he was 5 of 23 in the past four games in three-point range. And he comes out and he's 3 of 3 in that game, and then he's 3 of 4 on Saturday.
Yeah.
Which is much, much fewer attempts for him from three-point range. But, you know, anytime you get 6 of 7 over a two-game stretch, you're doing the best you can, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if you've seen... Did you see the pictures that Will took from the UR game?
I have not had a chance to look at them.
They went up on the site today. They're awesome.
Yeah.
There is one of Mo Alley Cox... That is amazing. I mean, there are a million that are amazing. Most of the amazing ones are from the second half where the intensity, and, like, you know, we post pictures from the games every other week or however often they play at home. And there's always intensity, but, like, the intensity in the second half in these photos is, it's pretty cool. Definitely worth checking out.
That's probably one of that, out of all the halftime speeches that I could see, that's probably the one I want to see. You know, Coach Smart's 0-2 in the Robin Center.
Yeah.
They kind of got punked last season. You know, I wonder what he said to them. If it was, because sometimes I feel like he's like, he doesn't want to overcorrect.
Yeah, stick to the game plan.
Stick to the game plan, stuff like that. But that may have been one where he's like, we're not going to let this happen again.
Right.
Like, I'm not waiting another year to try to get a win in this building.
Yeah, so that was his first win in the Robin Center.
Yeah.
And Briante broke the A-10 steal record.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So he has what now?
111.
It's a lot of steals.
It's a lot of steals, yeah.
It's not really big.
It's like one of, I think he may be getting towards like the top 20 all time in NCAA first season.
Awesome.
I think only 25 people have gotten into triple digits.
Whoa, really?
That doesn't seem right.
That's something worth looking at.
Yeah, I need to find the list. The NCAA ones are a little tricky to find sometimes.
What else? You got anything else for Richmond?
You know, well, we can talk about it when we preview the A-10. I just think that they're a team that makes me a little nervous. They haven't been particularly good away from the Robin Center,
yeah,
outside of that game at Florida. And UNC. They haven't really good outside of the Robin Center and the ACC and SEC, but no. but, you know.
They played a level of competition, perhaps, away from the Robin Center.
Yeah, and I think, they make me a little nervous about Brooklyn,
yeah,
if they beat Duquesne.
And, like, you got to think that almost all of these players were there last year for the Coach Mooney meltdown.
Yeah.
Like, they all remember that.
Yeah.
And so, like, I think there's some intangible, like, there's some stuff to go and get back, I think,
yeah,
for Coach Mooney and for the team.
Yeah.
So they're going to be motivated, I think.
Yeah, well, I think, gosh, every team that goes up there that's not playing on Wednesday is going to be highly motivated.
Yeah.
I think those poor teams have to play on Wednesday.
It's a bummer, man. Like, it's not even, like... I guess it's the same bummer from the NCAA play-in games. Like, it doesn't have any of the tournament feel. There's one game on Wednesday. It's Wednesday at night. It's Wednesday, so it's, like, in the middle of the week. It's at 7:30 or whatever.
People aren't going to travel for the 12 or 13 seeds.
And so you just have, like, on Thursday, games start at noon or whatever. Like, it's,
yeah,
a whole day of, like, epic basketball. And it's a lot of games to play if you start on Wednesday.
Yeah. But don't talk too bad about the NCAA tournament playing games.
No,
because that was, I think, very important to VCU. And Dayton,
yeah,
had a great vibe.
But it's the same, I feel like, from a consumer, a light consumer of basketball in my previous years. It has that, like, it's like, did you catch the game on Wednesday? I gotta, I don't know, watch True Detective.
True Detective. For the fourth time.
Yeah. No spoilers. I haven't started it yet, so... I had to, like, avoid Twitter yesterday. There was lots of, like, things, and I was like, I feel like that might be a spoiler, but it's such a weird show, I wasn't sure.
I started yesterday. Guess how many episodes deep I am.
If you started, what time of day did you start?
That's a good question. I don't know. Like,
I think you're six episodes deep.
I'm six episodes deep.
Yeah. I would be too, man. I have to wait for... We're finishing Breaking Bad season one. Or the final season, sorry.
Okay,
season one.
Yeah.
We're going to finish that and then move to True Detective. Oh, man. Hashtag important things to talk about
on the basketball podcast. This is... we're just trying to prepare people for the postseason.
Yeah, things you got to know.
Fill the void of your basketball. Yeah.
All right, so this St. Bonaventure game was 100% opposite, I felt like.
I 100% agree, yeah.
It was wild.
Yeah. So many good things to see. I talk about it all the time. It's just awesome watching the ball go in the basket sometimes. As much as a defense nerd I am, you know. And the ball was going in the basket. Rob Brandenburg, all of a sudden, he's of outside of Molly Cox, who's been playing many minutes, he's got the highest offensive rating on the team.
Yeah.
He's got, like, four turnovers in his past, like, 260 minutes of gameplay or something like that. So he comes out of the gate and scores the first basket 15 seconds into the game and ends up with 10 really quick points. And it was energizing, you know? Because I think people've got mixed feelings about his career here.
Yeah, I think, I mean, we've talked about it a little bit before where it feels like he's maybe underperformed when you look at it across a career. Or perhaps there are too high of expectations on him, or there were expectations that are maybe not met. And then even just the last, like this last sequence of six or seven games, I felt like, and I don't think the stats probably bear this out because he is always like filling stat sheet, but I felt like he's been less of a presence qualitatively as I watch the games. And then these last two games, I feel like he's been everywhere. And there's been those times where, throughout his whole career, there's always been these times where he is so fast.
Yeah.
Like, he will do a thing that is just, like, so fast.
That he grabbed that rebound, and that first bucket, yeah. It was like, you know, I got whiplash. It was like, he's here, and then 1.5 seconds later, he was 94 feet away putting the ball in the basket.
And I think we've seen that since he's been here.
Oh, yeah.
And I think we thought that that would be par for the course.
Well, I mean, I think he's someone, Coach Smart has talked about this, who confidence has been a thing. You know, he played aggressive, confident, loose, ACL his freshman year, because he was like the 8th or 9th best player on that team.
Yeah.
You know, Brendan Rozell goes down with the injury, he drops 22 on, not Georgia State, then he drops 23 on Georgia State. You know, there's all this, you know, they're losing everyone, this is going to be our guy. And then sort of him and Burgess at the same time went through this just brutal slump.
Yeah.
And I think it took him a really long time to, like, get over that. I love the way he's playing right now.
Definitely.
And you know, I think the tough thing with him is he does miss a lot of shots, you know. But he can be really explosive. And then he never turns the ball over.
Yeah.
And so, you know,
yeah,
he gets
at his
good looks. Looking at his turnover numbers, it's insane.
It is crazy. I'm looking at the column right now from all his games, and it's nuts.
And he's, like, not even, you know, I mean, Troy Daniels was, like, a catch-and-shoot kind of player. Didn't do, like, that much ball handling. It's like, Rob handles the ball.
Yeah.
You know, Rob does a lot of different things, and I think I'm really excited. I think he's going to show us a lot in the next, like, week and a half. I'm, like, really optimistic about where he's headed for the rest of the season.
People, like, you know how it's like a basketball trope to say, oh, when he's on, this is a different team. I think that's it's not a trope for Rob. Like, it's that bit of offense that the team needs that isn't always there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the stat from last year, I mean, I think when he scored 11 points, they lost like one game.
Yeah.
You know, and then if you use that stat over his entire career, I mean, it's like 50 or 60 wins and single digit losses. So I think I totally support that.
Yeah.
And then Redick also had a good game. I mean, 14 rebounds.
Yeah.
He's really turned it on in A-10 play. Just his rebounding numbers are insane. And he was really aggressive, and he was really trying to get it. You know, it was in December. This was the Javonte Redick that we all wanted, and he's there, and he was trying to get it. And his problem was they couldn't get him the ball.
Yeah.
There were three or four turnovers on passes into the post that were not his fault, you know, and he was really, really hunting for it. And, like, a lot of his opportunities came on offensive rebounds, which he was just so aggressive at getting. And then that one steal dunk.
Yeah.
And that was, like, a really big moment for me. That moment and then the Trayvon Graham to Rob Brandenburg alley-oop.
Yeah.
You know, that was, like, you know, that's, like, when Troy Daniels, like, almost kind of dunked it. It was, like, this is just one of those things. Let's just time out here. Let's take a minute and take, you know, take this all in for what it is. That's how I felt about that LU.
Definitely senior day moments.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, it was...
It'll be a good and memorable senior
day. Yeah, that I'll remember that one, and then the Bradford Burgess one.
Did you see Javonte on the bench after Coach Smart took him out?
No, but I heard he said he was, like, crying. Like,
yeah, they showed him on TV.
Yeah.
Super emotional. It was cool. It was cool. Not, like, cool to see him cry, but it was, like, yeah. I mean, it was cool, like, to see. It's obviously been a fun time for him here.
Yeah, well, just incredible careers. I mean, they just litter the record book. Mm-hmm. They're probably going to end up setting the VCU records for wins. They'll be only the second team in the history of the state of Virginia, second senior class to go to 4 NCAA tournaments in a row.
Wow.
I mean, and these are guys that were, you know, not the most important players, but important players on that Final Four team. I mean, I think about what Javonte Redick did against Jawan Johnson in that Purdue game. And then, obviously, he blocked it. You know, Rob Brandenburg. I'm a little emotional about it, too.
Yeah.
Because these guys are... I mean, these... For the modern, new age, like, post-Final Four VCU fan, these are guys that they've spent a lot of time with, which I don't think is necessarily true the last couple of classes.
Yeah, I think... Yeah, I totally agree with you. It'll be interesting when Briante and Trevion Graham leave, then it's different for some reason for me. That's like a line, and I know they weren't there for the Final Four stuff, but still, it's that same kind of thing. It feels like a generational shift for me.
Yeah,
like next year, those two dudes will be the two dudes. You know,
that's gonna be particularly crazy.
And then after those two guys leave, I won't feel like anyone. It's like they all feel new to me still.
Well, I think a lot of that has to do with what happened to Mo Alie-Cox and Jordan Burgess being partial qualifiers. Then that freshman class was really small.
Yeah,
I mean it's like Melvin Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah. What else? I wanted to know. So we finished the season. VCU finished the season undefeated at home.
Yeah, first time since 70-71.
How often does that happen in America? Do you have any idea of, like, who else does that?
I mean, 10 teams a year, maybe.
I would be interested to know how rare that stat is. Obviously, Wichita State has done it this year.
Right.
Probably a couple other teams in the top 10.
I mean, I'm sure Kansas has done it a lot of times in the past decade.
Yeah. It would be interesting to pull this year and see who else. I don't know how you would ever pull that because stats are terrible to look through. But
you'd have to start with how many home games do teams play? So you can already eliminate half just by looking at the records.
Yeah,
because half the teams aren't going to win enough games to even be considered.
Maybe you should get on this. This sounds like you have a plan. I would love to know.
And then you could probably rule out like another third using conference records.
Yeah. All right, what else? Bonaventure, last game of the season. Yeah. Last game in the Siegel Center until November,
yeah. We'll see. I was hoping for some more details today at the announcement about the new facilities.
For some, like, Jumbotron maybe. Stuff.
Yeah. I mean, that was the only thing about it. You get to the St. Bonaventure game, they've got the senior video at the very end, right after the game.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just looking up at those dinky screens,
yeah.
You know, and you can't understand any of the audio.
I would, if I had to pick one, I would trade screens for audio any day of the week. Like, if the audio was better, it would be a better environment, even with the small dinky screens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that would be a huge improvement, especially in the beginning when they try to get everyone pumped up and it's just like clicks.
Yeah, I agree. That's something that I wonder how much that cost.
Not as much as an entire new facility.
Well, yeah, $25 million practice facility. I think that is high on their list, and I think it is something we should see soon.
Yeah. It's an interesting shaped building, and I'll be interested to see how they do that, because there's not a whole lot of height to hang a massive, like...
Yeah, you have to be... I can't remember if it's 28 or 30 feet above the floor.
Oh, so there's a rule.
There's definitely a facilities rule.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see how they address it. Speaking of, new look.
New look.
It came out. It was I don't know. We can talk about whatever you want, and whatever you want could be nothing. But I'll say, I've had a week now to look at the new look, right? Mm-hmm. And I think I've settled on where I enjoy the like letter lockup, the word mark, the primary mark.
Now the horizontal one or the diagonal one?
I think they're both good, and they're for different use cases, and they're being used incorrectly already by TV media. If you read and listen to what they said, the VCU all in a horizontal line is for horizontal spaces. The staggered VCU is for squarish spaces. And while it looked super good on the TV for the Richmond game, was it? Did they have it for the Richmond game? Yeah, they rolled it out, or was it for the whatever game it was? It looked great in the little like the bottom third, and, okay, and like when they did like the A10 conference standings, it looked great. But they're using the square, the like logo, the staggered logo in these really horizontal spaces, so it like clips off the tops and the bottoms. And anyway, that's a nerdy thing, but I like it. I like the VCU with the Rams one. I think it looks good. I'm not a super big fan of the Ram itself.
The leaping ram.
I think it seems like a direct, I don't know, I wasn't involved. There were people that are involved, so maybe they can tell me. It seems like a reaction to the other Rams in the conference. Like, I think if you look at Rhode Island, what we had previously was very, very similar to Rhode Island. Like, illustrated portrait Ram's head with a horn. And then if you look at Fordham's is like a fully illustrated 3D kind of like little bit chubby ram, like leaping.
Stubby legs.
Yeah, like a chubby, stubby ram, three quarters view, you know? And so this is neither. This is a profile of a full ram, and it's different enough from either of those two.
See, it kind of reminded me of the Fordham one.
But the Fordham one is three-dimensional and three-quarter view, so you see it from an angle, and it's like leaping through the screen at you.
I've got mixed feelings about the RAM. My complaints are more about the process.
Let me get your opinion on the VCU letter, the primary mark.
I'm okay with it.
Okay, just okay.
But it's like
you had a high pitched voice a little bit, so.
I'm okay with it. It's just, this was an opportunity to, you know, knock the socks off of the basketball world again. And maybe I have unreasonable expectations, but like the energy that I get from the city of Richmond, from VCU, is like, this is our time right now, quest for distinction. Like, we're doing things a little bit differently around here. Like, we're doing things the best way possible. We're going to be the best, but we're doing things a little different around here. And they go and they get these logos that are just like look like every other sports logo in the world to me.
Yeah,
I'm just upset at like the missed opportunity to continue building this brand of like uniqueness and awesomeness.
Yeah, and I said this to you earlier. I think what I would have, first of all, I have no problem with going outside of VCU proper. It would have been cool to use a local firm, but I understand the complexities of sports branding, especially sports rebranding is even more complicated, and then the rollout is insanely complicated. So to say that a student could have done that is probably against the law. Like, you can't make students do that amount of work. Mm-hmm. And to use a local firm is fine. I'm sure there are local firms that could have handled it.
Yeah.
But I understand wanting to go with a company that has experience and has like a track record of this. But the thing you said is true. Like, it looks a lot like a lot of other sports logos. I'm going to rant for a little bit here.
Yeah.
For everything since like the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Carolina Panthers, everything that's this weird, boldly stroked and illustrated triangle head, like all the logos for sports franchises seem to look in this way. And this one feels that way too. And I think that is a missed opportunity where if they would have taken inspiration from the ICA, like the Institute for Contemporary Architecture, and they brought in Steve Hall, who's like a world famous dude. He's like one of the world's top architects, and they bring that guy and his firm in to design this building. He's not from Richmond. Like, he's not from here. He's the best in the world. So bring that guy in and design a signature building that's going to sit right in the freaking middle of the city. Brilliant idea. They had the same opportunity here where it could have been like, who is the best logo designer in the world? I don't care if he does sports or not. Like, who is he or her? Let's bring them in and let's have a guy who doesn't typically do sports rebranding do this logo. And maybe it's weird. Maybe it's, like, strange looking. But who cares? Like, it's like you said. It builds on this thing. Like, we're creative. We're new. We're not afraid to push the boundaries. So to use like a firm known for sports rebranding, while I understand it, I think it was a safe move.
Well, and as far as I understand, like, I mean, they're limited in who they can pick because of like state bidding. So I don't think they could be like, we're just going to use a local company and like, that's all we're going
to
do.
Yeah, they have to open it up and people have to bid on it.
Right. Which I think is kind of a weird thing in this situation because they're not homogenous products. I mean, it's the whole point is product differentiation. So like opening it up to bidding for something you haven't seen or for, I mean, it's one of those things. It's not like build this building.
Yeah.
It's like come up with this idea. And so bidding on it weirds me out a little bit. I think they could have done something along the lines of, I understand the rollout is difficult and the pricing for that is 10 times as much as what it costs for the design. Yeah. I think it's $30,000 for the design. I think I saw $350,000 for the rollout and all that kind of stuff. But I think they could have had opportunities to do student professional partnerships or something like that. Mm-hmm. You come up with a certain amount of teams. You pay every team a flat rate and then you offer a significant prize for whichever plan is picked. With those teams, you have, you know, some kind of professional or teacher partnership with the students. I think there's a way where there's a large spectrum between we're going to have a student contest and Affirm in Ohio is going to do the entire thing.
Yep.
And I think, you know, that would have been a missed opportunity. And that could have been a way where, I mean, that's a lot of money. And that's money that could have, as a student, could have benefited, like created learning opportunities for more students or created something for more students. It works. It's functional. It served a purpose. They paid for, you know, they got what they paid for. Kind of a missed opportunity for what I want to see VCU as a university continue to be. As a huge fan of the city of Richmond and as a student at VCU.
Yeah, well put. So we don't have to beat the dead horse anymore.
Already been beaten.
The dead ram. At least it's not a chubby, stubby ram.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say.
Yeah.
All right. I got a little emotional there. I'm still a little amped up. I care a lot about branding. Trivia? Can I ask you some trivia questions,
Aaron? Let's do some trivia.
I only have two today.
Small sample size. I could really embarrass myself.
Yeah. All right. Question number one. This is an awesome question. Question number one. Who has the most three-point attempts per minute on the team?
Doug Brooks.
It's Doug Brooks. It's a real stat. Like, in your heart, you want it to be Doug Brooks, but it really is Doug Brooks. Yeah. Doug Brooks has... He attempts 0.37 attempts per minute.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
Which is a lot. Like, it's a lot. Melvin Johnson, who has the next highest, is only 0.22 attempts per minute.
Yeah.
And he's taken a lot.
Did you figure these out on your own?
I did.
Because I've got the... That's my secret project.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It's going to be the... I still haven't come up with a good name for it, but it's going to be like the Dougie Brooks Quick Trigger of the Year Award. And so it's going to be measuring... It's a formula that I created that measures all of those stats.
Oh, what we're talking about?
It combines like 2-point attempts, 3-point attempts, points, rebounds, foul, everything.
That's awesome.
So I'm coming excited. Out this week.
Yeah, I'm excited for that debut. Here's a bonus question for that. Who has attempted the most threes on the team?
Trayvon Graham.
Melvin Johnson,
okay.
158 for Melvin Johnson and 150 for Trayvon Graham.
Okay, I was going to give Trayvon the minutes.
And I should have pulled up percentage because while they take the same number, I think Trayvon is hitting, he's hit 50 out of that.
Right.
I'm not sure. I think Melvin has a
64 or something like that. Yeah. I mean, Trayvon Graham was at a very high percentage and then he really slumped there for a little while.
Yeah.
But he's back.
And Doug Brooks played a lot in that St. Bonaventure's game. There was a lot of dudes played a lot of time.
And Jaquan Lewis.
Yeah.
Who looked awesome. Five steals.
That was in my thing to talk about. We didn't talk about it. But like where he, there was a 1 minute like window of play where he did all the stats. He like stole the ball, turned the ball over. He like
fouled
and he got a layup. Like he did like everything. And it was like so many good plays instantly like bookended by terrible plays.
Yeah.
Which I think is just a good microcosm for Jaquan.
I like those guys that get in there. And
yeah,
just do
man.
It all.
It's
in
great.
That Richmond game, he skied for like this one rebound. He was like up there and he grabbed it and it was like awesome. It got me so amped up.
He's improved so much mm-hmm. in the use your head, slow it down department.
Yeah.
Just
a less, it's a less like one-on-one taking and like drilling. He's good at getting other people involved. He's a guy I'm really excited for.
Definitely. The other one quick thing before we move on to the second trivia question is I did want to say that almost at the end of St. Bonaventure game, the all-hair lineup was almost in.
Yeah.
Minus, I think, Briante was on the bench.
Yeah, he's got that cool...
Yeah. But it was Brooks, Cox, Reddick, and Jaquan. And then Melvin was in there, I think. But so those are the four of the all-hair lineup, which is a very important stat.
Yes.
All right. Question number two. This is interesting. UR went 9-9 from the charity stripe. Mm-hmm. How many times in the common stats era, which is what I'm calling 2000 to now, has a VCU opponent hit 100% of their free throws?
Well, it's already happened once this season earlier, right?
It has not. Oh, yeah. It happened. No. No.
Maybe VCU went perfect from the line earlier this season. Maybe. How many times has it happened against VCU in the cup?
Yeah.
Four times.
Three times. It is a very rare thing to hit all your free throws.
Yeah.
Alabama did it in 2006. Towson did it in 2003. And Garner Webb did it in 2001.
Towson did it?
Mm-hmm. 7-7.
Okay, I was about to say.
But, like, lots of teams have, maybe not lots, but many teams have shot fewer than 7 free throws and still not managed to hit 100% of the free throws. Bonus question, how many times in the common stat era has VCU hit 100% of their free throws?
Four times.
It's three times also.
Oh, come on.
Maybe the time you're thinking about it, in 2013, last season,
they
went 10-10 against Temple in that Temple loss.
In the loss, yeah.
They went 9-9 against UAB in 2010 and 6-6. And, well, that's a super rare game to be at, 100% free throw game. And then against George Mason in 2002.
That UAB game was the NIT, right? No. Just kidding.
No.
It's not at that game.
It was December 21.
Yeah.
So that's six times since 2000 that either a VCU or an opponent has hit all their free throws.
Yeah.
That seems crazy to me. They're free.
I thought of it more.
Yeah. Not so free.
No.
Last week's prognostication, you said, the question was how many points will Kendall Anthony score? And you said
eight.
And he scored 20.
20, yeah.
So that's the first time you've been kind of way off. But like you said, it's like that guy, he's great.
He's awesome. Bronte Oliver could not keep him in front of him. He really struggled in the first half to keep him in front of him.
Yeah. He is a fast man as well.
And he just gets so low, you know?
He's already low.
Well, he starts low. I know, but like, he can get real low.
So this week's prognostication, I want to ask you, first, who will VCU play in the A-10 in the first game?
Oh, who do I... I think I'm going to take Duquesne over Richmond.
Whoa!
Obisoka's a good player. Richmond, I mean, VCU fans may not realize that because VCU absolutely shut him down, but he's a really good player.
Second question. Who will they play in their second game? Which, I'm glad you pulled up the bracket because you might want to look at the bracket.
It's really hard to say.
Yeah, there's a bunch of... Well, you pick, and then we'll talk about the
I mean, I think UMass is the most underseeded team, clearly. I mean, they're 6th seed. That's crazy. And that's just the way the cookie crumbled. They got to play two games.
So if you haven't seen the bracket yet, it's the first round would be UMass, Rhode Island, and then the winner of that game plays George Washington. So we're talking about the winner of UMass, Rhode Island, and George Washington.
I'd probably take UMass and Brooklyn over George Washington.
Okay.
But... they got to play those two games, so I guess I'm going to go George Washington.
Okay. I feel like... So let's transition into the A-10 conversation.
Yeah.
I feel like the UMass is a worser, that's a real word, matchup for VCU in that game.
UMass is?
Yeah. I would rather play George Washington, I think.
Yeah.
Last year was... Like, I remember last year and...
That was a very tough game, and then this year, yeah.
Yeah, and then this year. So... I think my hope would be George Washington in that second round game for us.
UMass has already beat George Washington in D.C.
Yeah.
In their one game they played.
So looking at the A-10 bracket, where are the upsets? Where's the first upset coming?
From left to right?
Yeah.
Should I just tell you all my picks?
Let's do all your picks. This is great.
George Mason over Fordham.
The sad Wednesday night game.
Yeah. LaSalle over St. Bonaventure. Dayton over Mason. I already said Duquesne over Richmond. UMass over Rhode Island. In the next round, I'll take St. Louis over LaSalle. Yeah. St. Joe's over over Dayton. VCU over Duquesne. George Washington over UMass, just because they have the day off. I think it can be a benefit. I think UMass will be more comfortable coming out the gate, but that's tough, man. And that's like a really cool, it's a 24-hour turnaround, but that's still tough. So then we're in the final four, and I've got the top four seeds.
Yeah. So no upsets, really.
I may say St. Joe's over SLU. I think St. Joe's, they just lost to LaSalle. Before they lost to LaSalle, they were my, super consistent, confident pick for the A-10 tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Then they lose at home to LaSalle. And then SLU's kind of been all over the place.
Yeah, way all over the place.
So, I mean, there's a lot of good teams. I think that's the nice thing for VCU is, they got their losses out of the way, which were, character-building, tough road losses against the best teams. And now they've won their games to finish off the season. I think they come in a really good place. And I really like VCU in revenge matchups.
Yeah, and we talked about during that arduous stretch of losses, you don't want to lose a game you're not supposed to lose.
Yeah.
And it felt like that St. Joe's game was one that we should have won but lost. And it's kind of been okay. I think it was an okay, you said, it was a hard-fought loss, character building. It looks better now.
They got robbed on that one.
It feels better in my heart.
I mean, if they'd won that, then
they would be share
13-3, and nice. Do they don't share? I can't remember what the A-10 does.
I don't know, but we would be split with St. Louis, and
they'd still be the number two seed.
Yeah, I don't know what the rules are, because when we have a split with St. Louis in the same record,
it would go to the.
It would probably be
whoever has the then best you go to the record. Seedings. No.
This is,
The rules are fascinating. So then, St. Louis, if VCU had gotten that game, if they had won that game like they should have, or like they could have if that call had gone the other way, then it would be VCU and St. Louis's record against the third place team, which at this point would be George Washington. So I think St. Louis would still be the number one seed because VCU went 1-1 against them, and I want to say St. Louis beat them once, right? Yeah. So they'd still be the number two seed.
That doesn't seem very fair. So we'd be a half a game behind because we play them on one extra time?
This is what I'm saying about the smaller conference.
Yeah, totally.
See what I'm saying?
That's dumb.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah,
VCU could have been, we could just reframe the whole thing and say, if VCU hadn't had the hardest schedule in the conference, they could be the number one seed right now. But it's fine because, it's March and that's what these guys care about.
And appreciably, is there that big of a difference between either side of the bracket? If VCU is a one seed, they're
better off because they don't have to play St. Joseph's until... I mean, SLU and St. Joseph's are going to beat each other up.
Yeah. But couldn't you say the same... I mean, so they play... I mean, VCU has to play UMass or George Washington in the same way, right?
Yeah, but St. Joseph's and St. Louis scare me more than...
George Washington and UMass.
And UMass.
I'm really scared about UMass. I don't know why.
I'm scared about UMass, too. But I'm really... I just think, they don't get that double bye. And I think there's value to that. Okay. It's like the CIA tournament. No one ever won having to play all 4 days.
Yeah. Okay.
So now we're down to the final four. And I don't, St. Joe's and SLU, it's tough to tell what they're going to bring right now. I mean, St. Louis stumbled. Really stumbled.
Yeah.
And that loss to the St. Joe's... I'll take St. Joe's over LaSalle. I think it's going to be VCU, St. Joe's in the final. I'm going to pick VCU. And I'm not just saying that because I'm a homer. It's because of those things I said earlier. Coach Smart has a really, really good track record in the month of March. They're really, really good at those quick turnarounds. They know what they do. VCU is not making these huge strategic changes based on their opponent. And it's aware... Their whole angle is physical fitness. And I really think that works really well in 3-day stretches like that.
Yeah.
So, and especially St. Joseph's plays like 6 players. They play like 5.5 players a game.
I'm looking at the records of these teams we're talking about. They make no sense at all. None of these make any sense. Like St. Louis, in the last 4 games,
it's lost
at home to Duquesne.
Yeah.
Lost at VCU. Lost at home to Dayton. And then won by 2 at UMass.
Yeah.
From a team that was 19-0 in a row.
Yeah, they won 19-0 with their losses ranked in to the Wisconsin and Wichita State.
And that doesn't make any sense. And then you look at St. Joe's, won a bunch in a row, and then lost at George Washington, which makes a little bit of sense, but then lost at home, but kind of a lot to LaSalle.
Yeah, it was like 11 or something like that.
71-63. And then UMass is just like winning every other game. A win over Rhode Island, a loss to Dayton. A win over Duquesne, a loss to St. Louis, which actually makes the most sense. That's at least a thing I can look at and comprehend.
They beat VCU without having a three-pointer. In a game in the 80s.
So I think you're right. Like if you were to delete the top, you know, if you were just look at the last 6 games of every team,
mm-hmm.
VCU would be the clear on paper
mm-hmm.
favorite, right?
Yeah.
And it would have to be.
And I'm serious about, I mean, I think if they can just capture some of the offensive, you know, energy that they've had from the last 3 halves they've played.
Yeah.
Especially the St. Bonaventure game. And then just carry, I mean, their defense is it's just really good. I mean, if they can just score enough points, then they can win the whole thing.
Yeah. And that was I think that was a problem last time against St. Louis, right? Shots weren't going in.
Oh, no, no.
Or the whole tournament. Wasn't it just bad shooting for the tournament, or am I making that up?
No, I don't remember that being the case. I mean,
I'm probably making it up.
That finals game in particular, I think Troy Daniels may have been like 0-9 or 0-10.
Yeah.
Dwayne Evans face guarding him. And then Nick Stauskas did the same thing in the Michigan game. We'll see.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm going up there. We'll both be up there.
Mm-hmm.
I had a really, really, really great time last year at Barclays. I think it's a wonderful place to play basketball.
Yes. It's an experience that every VCU fan should aim for once.
Yeah, and like the great thing about this is it's not really that far away. It's like in New York, it's a bus ride. Like mm-hmm. hop on a train. It's awesome. Brooklyn's the best place. It seems like such a weird, random place for a basketball tournament, but it really is the best. Like, it's a whole lot of fun. I heartily recommend it to everyone.
You just said I heartily recommend it.
Heartily.
Heartily.
Heartily. With much heart. My heart is filled with this recommendation.
Okay.
Because I'm so into it. I think that's it. Do you have anything else?
I'm just excited, man. This is, it's a long season.
Yeah.
To get to this point. And now it's a little nerve-wracking because it's like, man, I mean, they could lose. We could never see Javonte Redick and Rob Brandenburg win ever again.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's always the case. But like, they could lose on Friday. And then losing the first round in the early tournament.
Is there any worry at all in any, like, there's no, like, VCU's locked. Locked.
Locked.
Super locked.
Like, probably the second most locked team in the conference behind St. Louis. Even though St. Louis, I mean, they're fine.
So bounce the first round, everything's fine.
Yeah. Bounce the first round by 30 points.
Is there any, can you give me any sort of insight to the NCAA tournament yet, or do we have to wait till Sunday?
Well, it's the thing Coach Smart always says. It's about matchups. You know, I'm just really nervous they're going to get stuck in, like, well, I mean, they're not going to get put low as 8-9, but, like, I want to be a 5 or a 6. It's no fun being a 7 or 8 or 9.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to get into the middle of the bracket, and then from there it's all about matchups. You don't want to be playing Kansas too quickly or not Kansas. I mean, what's it better? You don't want to be playing Florida or Arizona too quickly. So just get in that middle range there and hope you get the right matchups. Hope you don't get Michigan again. I mean, it's just a terrible matchup.
Yeah.
You know, Atina's went to the national championship game with, like, 8 ball handlers and great three-point shooting and Mitch McGarry playing out of his mind all of a sudden. You know, he had, like, lost a bunch of weight and all of a sudden decided to be a monster.
Yeah.
And, like, you just got to knock on wood and hope you don't get that.
Do you know, have you seen any predictions of where VCU will end up seeded?
I haven't been looking, to be honest with you. I try to not get too caught up in the bracketology thing. There's like a lot of really good basketball between now and then.
A ton.
And a lot can change between now and then. So
I have a couple non-A10 things.
Okay.
Too. So UVA lost.
Yeah.
To Maryland.
And Everton.
What does that mean? That probably doesn't mean anything. Do you think they'll win the ACC tournament?
Where is the ACC tournament?
I have no idea. It's a good question.
Atlanta?
I have no idea.
I mean, they're definitely one of the favorites to do it. ACC is, like, really confusing right now.
Yeah.
Because Syracuse was, like, I thought the best team in the country. And then...
Then Boston College happened.
Grant. I guess they've been playing without Grant. And that affects their all... You know, they just haven't been able to score.
It's in Greensboro. Because that's pretty fair, I guess.
Yeah, okay, so I'm going with Duke. You know, they're really... It's a really interesting league, though, because Syracuse... did all that stuff. Duke's got some really embarrassing losses, but they can also play really good basketball. UNC is an entire enigma. I mean, they've beaten... they beat Michigan State, Duke, right? They beat Duke.
I don't know.
They've got like three... Louisville.
Yeah.
And Kentucky? I don't know.
Three big wins.
They've got like three really, really big wins, and then they lost to like Belmont and UAB.
Yeah.
And it's like... they've really turned it around. They've done an incredible job. So you don't know what you're going to get from them. I think that'll be an interesting tournament to watch. I don't think the ACC is as good as in years past. If they hadn't added Syracuse, then everyone would be like laughing at the ACC right now. Yeah. And Duke is just so overrated. It blows my mind.
How many bids will the ACC get?
Five?
Is that a big deal that the A-10 could have more than the ACC? Is that a thing?
It's just a big deal that the A-10's going to have six. I mean, I would have if you had come to me a year ago and had been like, Aaron, the A-10 is going to lose Butler, Xavier, Temple, and Charlotte, and six teams are going to the A-10 tournament next year. I would have laughed in your face. I would have been like, oh, so Syracuse and Pitt changed their minds and decided right. to go to the A-10 instead of the ACC. I would have just laughed in your face. I think it's an incredible feat. I think it speaks volumes about the A-10, just the excitement. I mean, the value of basketball-only schools. I think it's cool that it's different. You know, there's no football. I think it's really cool. You look at the crowds and the energy and the fan bases. It's really cool, and I hope that it doesn't get messed up in the next 5 years because I think the potential of the A-10 5 years from now is just incredible.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. Is this sustainable, or are we just lucky that it all worked out?
Well, I think there are a lot of really good seniors in the league this year. That is definitely for sure. And I think college basketball is in a weird place this year. But I think it's good. I think the cool thing about the A-10 is it's... a lot of interesting things are happening in college basketball because you have these senior-laden teams that are like, know what they're doing, and then all these lottery picks from the NBA draft who are 18 years old.
Yeah.
And like, it makes something like VCU in 2011 possible. I think we're going to see a lot more parity. I mean, instead of there being 10 dominant teams that have seniors that are going to the NBA... There are a couple of really good teams this year, and then there's a ton of parity under there. And I have no idea how... I mean, yeah, sure, I'll take Arizona and Florida. You know, if I had to pick two teams for March, those are the teams I'd pick. Yeah. But outside of that, there are like 30 teams that could make a run and win the national championship.
How good do you think Wichita State is?
I think they're really good. It'll be interesting to see them play a really good team. They're probably not as good as last year in March, when Clay Anthony Early and Carl Hall really turned it on, because mm-hmm. Carl Hall graduated, and that hurts him. But Clay Anthony Early is like a really good player. Fred Van Fleet's a really good player. Ron Baker can like hit shots. Nikhil Cotton's a great defender. I mean, they've won 34 games in a row, and probably how many of those have been by double digits? You know, it's like the one game they've lost in the past year. The one game they've lost in the past year was to the national champions in the Final Four.
Yeah.
I'm not saying last year should be like a huge indicator this year, but I think that's an incredible feat, and I don't think anyone is saying they shouldn't be a number one seed. I think any team that goes undefeated I don't care where you are. You got to give them just a huge recognition for that. Especially because of all those things I was just talking about. Yeah. This isn't 1980 anymore. You know, like, well, I say that, but 1980 is when Indiana State went to the final. I mean, but you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's...
Yeah.
This is a different era of college basketball, and there's just, like, way more parity, so I think it's awesome. I think this is March. I'm geeking out right now. This is going to be... I have no idea what's going to happen, and you expect the unexpected. All the things apply.
It's a lot of fun.
It is so much fun.
We talked a little bit. We're going long here. We should wrap this thing
up. We're
going
to wrap it up, yeah.
I think it is America's... It is the most American thing. I used to think that was the Super Bowl, but it's not true.
Well, Super Bowl's one evening. I mean, yeah. I want to do an economic study on productivity.
Yeah.
On output, you know? And
that's why I think
seasonably adjusted output by month.
Right.
And I'm telling you, like...
I think that's why it's the most American thing, because we will not work for sports. And we'll do it for, like, 6 work days.
Yeah.
We will take 6 work days to fake work so we can watch sports instead. And I think that is uniquely American.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not Absolutely. Uniquely American, but it's certainly American.
Well, it's the closest thing that we'd have to, like, you know, the Euro Cup for soccer, you know, or something like that. So, you know, get prepared to not get anything done. It's March. It's here.
Yeah. All right, with that, let's get out of here.
Yeah.
You can hit us up on Twitter at RVA Ram News. I'm at Ross Catro, RossCatrow.
I'm at AW Underground. I'm Aaron Williams.
And you can email us at rams@rvanews.com. And we will see you next week when VCU's NCAA tournament seed has been decided.
Looking forward to it. Go Rams.
Go Rams.